Good evening once again, folks. It's good to be with you all. Hope you had a good afternoon. And yes, please, there goes that. Please pray for me, if you would, as I travel back tonight. And I'm looking forward to spending about 2 or 3 days back home, and then I'll be back on the road again. And got a lot of, praise the Lord, the schedule is quite full. And that is a blessing. I don't take that for granted. And getting to be on the road, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. And this is what God called me to do. So I'm glad that I enjoy it. That's a good thing. But I really do enjoy it. I love traveling. I love meeting people. I love meeting new people and other Christians and getting to just see different ministries and different works. And every once in a while, you go to a place that's just a little bit different. There's a lot of good places out there, and you know it's easy to get the Jeremiah syndrome, and it's just me and only me. But I want to encourage you tonight that there's a lot of men behind a lot of pulpits tonight, in a lot of different cities and a lot of different states that are holding fast and preaching the word and preaching it right and trying to help their communities. And you never know. I heard one person describe revival. I mean, you think of revival as a fire. And the Bible even alludes to that. Revival is like a fire. Well, what do fires do? They spread. And it just takes one person getting on fire for God. And what's that going to do? That's going to spread. And if you get revival, if I get revival, you never know. That might just spread to my wife and my kids. And then our family's got revival. And next thing you know, the family in the pew next to us, then maybe they might get revival. And then next thing you know, the whole church might get revival. And next thing you know, maybe the whole town's got revival. And the next thing you know, maybe a couple of towns, the county's got revival. And next thing you know, maybe the state's got revival. I mean, this thing's possible, folks. This thing's possible. God, we've seen God. The great thing is we've seen God work a couple of times in our nation already. I mean, we've already seen it in our nation already. You don't have to go back very far. And you see that God's done works in our nation. And he can do a work again. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 13. We're going to have two passages that I'm going to be switching back and forth between. But Genesis chapter 13, verse number 10. Thank you so much for the kind words that everybody's been giving. And a lot of folks have been once again saying they're praying for us. And I do appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. So thank you very much. Genesis chapter 13, just going to read one verse because the story is pretty familiar. Genesis chapter 13, verse 10, it says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." This title's not going to make a whole lot of sense when I say it, but I hope you'll get it as the message goes on. I'm going to talk about one chose to leave, the other chose to cleave. And let's pray. Dear God, once again, we're happy to be in your house. Lord, and thank you so much for you've blessed us today and you've met with us, Lord. And thank you so much for the opportunity to sing these songs. And Lord, we do ask that you have your own way with us this evening, Lord, and how you've blessed us already through the song service. And the fellowship that we've enjoyed, we ask that you meet with us once again. And Lord, that you just illuminate your word in our hearts. Lord, I pray that if a decision needs to be made today, that they won't leave without getting whatever it is that they need to get right with you, getting that squared away, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that your word will lodge itself in our hearts, and we'll open up our hearts so that you can enter in. And we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and turn, if you will, to, we'll get there in a second, but 2 Kings chapter 2 as well. Keep a finger in Genesis, but or a little 3x5 card or whatever you got to in Genesis, but we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 2 as well. What I'm going to talk about today is a tale of two choices. In fact, in this passage here in Genesis, that's what we have. We have a tale of two choices. And for my introduction, I want to kind of give you the backstory on what got me this thought that I'm going to be, what led me to the thought that I'm going to be sharing with you all this evening. I heard a preacher preach a message a couple of years ago on Lot. And he preached a great message on the downfall of Lot and his family because of the bad choices that he made. In his introduction, he talked about Lot and Abraham separating, as you can see in Genesis chapter 13. And you don't need to turn there, but it says in verse 7, "And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said to Lot, 'Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left.'" And as this preacher was sharing his passage and going through his introduction, something hit me that I'd never thought of before. I always saw Lot, from this passage, I always saw Lot as having two options. He could either choose to go east to the well-watered plains in the direction of Sodom, or he could choose to go west and avoid all that. And we know the choice that Lot made. He chose to go east. He chose to go towards the well-watered plains of Sodom, and he paid dearly for that decision, didn't he? But I never realized until it was Pastor Jerry Ross, I never realized until Pastor Ross was giving his introduction that day that Lot had a third choice. Lot had a third choice. Lot could have chosen to stay with Abraham. Well, you're saying, what do you mean? Well, Abraham had a lot of cattle, and Lot had a lot of cattle, and that was causing strife. But the preacher made a statement, and this wasn't even what his message was about, but he said, "Lot, why don't you just get rid of some cattle? Hey, why don't you just downsize a little bit? Instead of having to leave Abraham, why don't you make a third choice and just maybe, yes, the cattle's nice, but get rid of some cattle and stick with Abraham." That statement caused me to think of another person in the Bible who had a similar situation and was given a similar ultimatum, if you will, but made a different choice. That's where we're at in 2 Kings chapter 2. Hopefully you found it by now. That was a good little bit of time to get there. Second King, if you haven't found it by now, I heard a preacher say this, just stare intelligently at whatever page you're at and nobody's going to know the difference. 2 Kings chapter 2, and verse number 6, it says, "And Elijah said unto him," who's him? That's Elisha. Elisha. "And Elijah said unto him, 'Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan.' And he," that's Elisha, "said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' And the two went on." Elisha had been traveling with Elijah. For how long? No one really seems to have a clear answer on that. The most consistent answer that I found was about 6 years. Could be more, could be less. But for some time, at least. And when it came time for them to part, and Elijah was to be taken up into heaven, Elisha's response was different than Lot's. He said, "I'm not going to leave you. I'm sticking with you." One chose to leave, the other chose to cleave. Now, there are some things that we can leave, and it's okay. I think back when I first got married and I had a 2002 Honda Accord, and it was in rough shape to say the least. I bought it in some guy's garage, and by the time I got home, the engine light had already come on. That's always a good feeling. And that car, praise the Lord, God kept that car floating until the day that I got another car and brought that back to the apartment that we were living in at the time. And then I went to move my green Honda Accord, and it wouldn't start. So praise the Lord, God had that thing last until I couldn't use it anymore. That was an okay thing to leave behind. Okay, I didn't need to cleave to that. I'm glad to see that thing no longer. Some things are more important than a car. Some things can't be replaced. Some things are necessary. Some things are vital. You know, a lot of the talk now is about AI, artificial intelligence replacing man. And my brother was just in Fort Worth, and he works for Chase, the corporate office as well. And he went to the plant where they make the credit cards. And there's this 3,000, 4,000, I can't remember, square foot property. And there's less than 250 employees managing this whole property, because it's all just machines printing these credit cards and etching the information and cross-referencing all the data, all the everything. And it's just basically 200 maintenance guys making sure that the machines are running. I mean, in many ways, machines and AI have already taken the places of a lot of workers in our infrastructure. But there are some things that cannot be replaced by any machine or any form of technology. Some things in the workforce, you have to have a person to do. And you know what? There are some things in your life and mine that we just can't move on from, that we don't replace and we don't leave. Lot and Elisha both had a choice to leave or to cleave. Each made their choice, and it was clear what choice had a better result. So I just want to highlight a few areas where each of their men and their decisions chose to leave or cleave. Lot chose to leave, and Elisha chose to cleave to a godly influence. A godly influence. Abraham was a godly man. If you want any proof, you can read Genesis 17, where he's called the father of many nations. In James 2, he's called the friend of God. In Hebrews 11, he's described in the hall of faith. He's in the hall of faith for trusting God. In fact, 14 chapters are spent detailing the events surrounding Abraham. Abram or Abraham is mentioned 280 times in Scripture. He's responsible for a lot of different parts of Scripture. I think we would all agree he's a no doubt man of God. A no doubt man of God. Well, Elijah was a godly man as well. He was a prophet. He was fed by ravens in the wilderness. He intervened in the life of the widow and her son, who due to God's miracle had oil and meal supplied daily. He challenged Baal's priest to the duel of gods and won in spectacular fashion. He appeared to Jesus and the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration along with Moses. Yet, Elisha chose to stay with Elijah and Lot chose to separate from Abraham. Oh, Lot. Hey, I think if we could all talk to Lot, we'd say, oh, Lot, you should have stayed with the man of God. You should have stayed with the man of God. Why? Well, Proverbs says, in the multitudes of counselors, there is safety. There wasn't a whole lot of safety when he was running away from a burning Sodom and Gomorrah. In Jeremiah 3:15, think about this. It says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. The bottom line is, God has given some the gift of pastoral leadership for the perfecting of the saints, as you read about in Ephesians chapter 4. We would be wise to not leave, but to cleave to godly pastoral influence. God has given you a pastor. He's given you a good pastor. He's given you a man of God. Can I just encourage you to cleave to the influence that you can get from a man of God? Cleave to it. Don't leave it. Show up to your church when the doors are open. Pray for your pastor. Talk with your pastor. Follow the example of your pastor. And I believe that you do. You know, it's a good thing that you're celebrating an anniversary of the pastor at your church. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Lot chose to follow Abraham, but for some reason then chose to leave him. So many people, I don't want to get ahead of myself, he chose to leave him. Maybe it was the mistakes that he made in the chapter before. If you don't have to, but if you were to look back at the Genesis and the last verse of chapter 12, right before we get to chapter 13, where our text is, we see in the last verse of chapter 12, Abraham lies to Pharaoh about his wife and gets caught for it. So the last thing that happens in chapter 12 is Abraham making a big boo-boo, a big mistake. And you know what? The best of men are men at best. I heard another way to phrase that specifically in the spiritual realm is a Bible college professor of mine said, all these commentators, you know what they are? They're just commentators. That's all they are. And that's true. There's some truth in that. Because you know what? The best of men are men at best. Maybe Lot. Think about this. Maybe Lot thought that since Abraham made a mistake that he was better than him. Who is this guy to? Why am I following this guy? Look at what he just did. Man, look at this guy's no good. You know, he's a hypocrite. Abraham made a mistake. He's a man. But you know what? Maybe if we go back, I think Abraham might give his uncle another chance. He should have tried to resolve the issue with their cattle instead of just separating. If we could go back, I think Lot chooses to stay with Abraham, don't you? I got to ask, why would we not cleave to the godly counsel that we hear from the pulpit on a weekly basis? I can't remember. I was trying to remember, and I should remember what old man of God used to say, three to thrive. Three to thrive. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Three to thrive. There's a pastor that, if you had asked him for counsel, can I counsel with you? Can I meet with your preacher? You'd say, are you coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? And if the answer was no, once you start coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I'll meet you at 3 to Thrive. I was at a church out in California, and the pastor was giving out a book that he had written. And it said, a comprehensive guide. I can't remember the title, but it was basically like a comprehensive guide to modern issues. And it had all to addiction, marriage, child rearing, finances. And it was a really small book. It was almost like a pamphlet. And I was like, how did he solve all these problems in this small book? Well, you went to the first one, it said, how to have a happy marriage. It said, the first thing was, read your Bible. And then it said, number two, pray. Number three, go to church. Number four, go soul winning. Number five, tithe. And then it had about four or five other things. Then you turn the page. All right, how to rear your kids. Number one, read your Bible. Number two, pray. Number three, go to church. Number four, go soul winning. Number five, every page had a different title, a different topic. But they all, and you know what? That's so true, people. That's so true. And man, people have so many problems. And you know what the problem is, especially with my generation, is they're going to the vlogs. They're going to the YouTube videos. They're going to the internet. And they're going to these carnal and worldly books and programs to try and find the problem when the answer's been the same since this day and age. Go to the man of God. Go to the word of God. Get on your knees and pray. Don't take for granted the pulpit and the man of God. If we could go back, I think Lot chooses to stay with Abraham. Godly counsel can come from other places. This isn't the only place that you can get godly counsel. But no matter where it comes from, it should be held in high regard. Can I say to the young people in the room tonight, hold in high regard the counsel of your folks. Hold in high regard that listen to the counsel of your folks. I think about the things that my parents taught me. And sometimes, and you know, my parents didn't sit me down and say, all right, get out a pad and paper. I'm going to teach you some Bible truth. No, that's not what they did. Now, one thing they did is they lived a clean life. They lived a godly life. And you know what? As things would come up in the day-to-day life, they would guide me. I can't tell you how many times just driving in the car with my dad, and he'd be talking. And you know what? Sometimes as a kid, I'd think, yeah, I know, Dad. What are you going on and on about? But I look back on a lot of the things that he said, and I realize he was giving me Bible truth. He was giving me principles that I can apply to my life. That is, and I've followed some of those principles, and it saved me. I wish I'd have followed more, because the ones that I followed have saved me from so many heartaches and tears. Young people, listen to the godly counsel of your pastor and your parents. Can I say to the young couples and parents in the room, and this is my category, and I battle this myself. Let's not be too proud to admit that we don't know everything there is to know about raising a family and finances and decision making or many of the other things that we're going through. Like I said, people used to go to church and ask the folks at church their advice on those topics. But now the modern thing to do is to go to the blogs and vlogs and social media influencers and online articles from worldly and carnal people, or just as dangerous, people that profess to be Bible believers, but don't act like it. Let's be careful about that. Instead, let's hold godly counsel and high regard. Elisha stayed with Elijah. And you know what happened? Miracles upon miracles upon miracles were performed through the life of Elisha. In fact, exactly double the works that Elijah did, Elisha was recorded doing. He knew he could not go wrong if he stuck by wise counsel. When I was a youth pastor, I said this time and time and time again. I said, every decision that I've gone to my parents and my pastor about and I followed their counsel, they've never steered me wrong. They've never steered me wrong. Don't take for granted the godly counsel you can get from your pulpit. One chose to leave and the other chose to cleave to a godly influence. Along with that, one chose to leave and another chose to cleave to godly blessings. Elisha was blessed heavily. I just mentioned he was able to be used of God. And he got to see God work on a regular basis. Before he became the prophet Elisha, just following Elijah, he got to see God work. And hey, that is a blessing, folks. It's a blessing when God uses the place that you're in. When a person walks the aisle and gets saved and gets baptized, that's a blessing. When you see God work in your church or in your community, that's a blessing. When you see God work in your life, that's a blessing. Before Elijah was taken up into heaven,
He asked Elisha what it is that he could do for him. I don't know this, but could he have asked for anything and gotten it? I don't know. Could he have asked for money? I don't know. But what did he ask for? He asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. He said, you know, the phrase is, if I could be half the man. He said, I don't want to be half the man. I want to be double the man that Elijah was. Wow. What if before they had that conversation, what if Elisha had left? If he had stayed back, he would have missed out on the blessings of a lifetime. You think he regrets asking for that? You think he regrets sticking around Elijah and asking for a double portion of his spirit? I don't think he does. He said, I've seen God use you and be blessed, and I've seen God work in your life, and it's been a blessing to me to see God use you, and I don't want to miss out on any other blessings that I might have. He said, yes, God's blessed me a lot just being around you, and I've been blessed in a lot of different ways, but I want more blessings from God. I want to get closer to God, and I get more from Him. Well, Lot was blessed too, as it seems. I mean, we look at it. Lot was stuck by his godly uncle, and it seemed to become quite blessed. After all, he had Lot, great flocks and herds and tents. His substance was great. The Bible also says that he was a just man, and no doubt he was blessed for that as well. Once again, he was so blessed that his flocks and herds were so big it was becoming a problem. So clearly he was blessed to some degree. You got to, I don't know this to be certain, but I got to imagine that he could have worked something out besides separating from Lot. I got to imagine. Sold some sheep. Maybe downsized a few tents. I mean, something. Despite the fact that sticking with his uncle had worked so well for him, he decided to leave his uncle. And this is interesting. As soon as a little conflict between the herds, as soon as there was some trouble, Lot said, it's time to leave. Folks, can I say this evening? We should not leave the place of God's blessing in our lives just because of conflict. Conflict itself is not a good reason to leave a situation. If leaving due to conflict was the right thing to do, then Noah would have left the ark after being criticized. David would have left after Saul tried to kill him. Daniel would have left his prayer closet after that was outlawed. Joseph would have left in expecting Mary after the accusations came. Paul would have left his mission work after the first imprisonment or the second imprisonment or the third beating. Christ would have left us and skipped the cross. Lot should have been a man about it. He should have talked things out with Abraham or gone to the herdsman and said, hey, quit arguing with the other guys, and done what he needed to do to rectify the situation. We have conflict in our lives, don't we? Oh yeah, you live on this earth, the same earth that I do, there's conflict. We need to be careful not to run at the first sign of trouble. Don't leave the blessings God has given you because of conflict. If you're in a place of blessing, whether it's because of your own good works or you've settled in a place that God wants you to be, cleave to that. Cleave to that. Don't leave it. Hold on and hold on as tightly as you can. When Lot left, he lost his blessings. In Genesis chapter 19, I'll read a couple of verses. If you still got your page there, you can go ahead and flip that back to Genesis chapter 19. A couple of verses we can just look at together. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 15. Well, at the sign of trouble, Lot left, and when he left, he lost his blessings. In verse 15, it says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Then go down to verse 24. It says, and the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. All he was able to leave with was his wife and two daughters. And of the four of them, only three made it. His wife, you know, turned into a pillar of salt. Do you think he wished he'd stayed with his uncle? Man, you feel for him. You're mad at him and your heart breaks for him at the same time, doesn't it? What in the world, Lot? What in the world, Lot? Man, just sell a couple of sheep. Get rid of a couple of tents. Don't leave the blessings of God because of trouble. We've been given blessings. Maybe God's blessed you with a good job, a nice home. Kids are growing and doing good. Life has its struggle and hard times, but things are good for the most part. Hey, don't leave for the well-watered plains. Don't pitch your tent somewhere else because of a better opportunity. Maybe that's what Lot thought. Maybe he's like, you know what? I've been blessed because I've been traveling with Abraham, and man, I've accumulated all these material means, and I think I'm good now. I think I'm ready to just separate and do my own thing for the first time. I'm not going to follow him around anymore. Maybe I can find a new and better opportunity. God knows our addresses. He knows our phone numbers, and when he wants us to leave where he has us, he's going to let us know. But don't think you've outgrown God's blessings. Because you haven't. It comes down to this. Elisha was willing to sacrifice the God-given blessings he had been already given for something more from God. While Lot sacrificed something more from God for what he had already been given. Lot could have gotten more. Elisha got more. Elisha had already been given much, and he got even more. And Lot missed out. Not only did he miss out, but he lost what he had. One chose to leave, the other chose to cleave to a godly influence. One chose to leave, the other chose to cleave to godly blessings. And one chose to leave, the other chose to cleave to God's presence. God was with Abraham. I don't think we could have any debate about that. He talked with him regularly. He was the friend of God. You would have to have God with you in order to move your whole family and house to a destination that God hadn't revealed to you yet. God was close to Abraham, and I don't need to lay out that the presence of God was not with Lot. It's clear by where he decided to live and the lifestyle that he was apparently living and the choices that he was making that God was not, or I should say this, Lot wasn't very that close to God. Lot could have stayed close to Abraham, who was close to God, but he chose to leave. Hey, he had lots of cattle. But he didn't have the presence of God. Oh, he had the well-watered plains, but he didn't have the presence of God. Oh, he had many possessions, but he didn't have the presence of God. Oh, he ended up in a nice place to live. I mean, you can read that his house was near the gate where the people of most importance in the city lived, but he didn't have the presence of God. Oh, they got to enjoy the family. The kids all grew up and got married, you read, but they didn't have the blessings of God. Oh, he got to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but he didn't have the pleasures, the presence of God. He was so close to it. He was so close to it. He was so close to the presence of God by sticking with his uncle, but he left it. Well, I think we'd also say that God was with Elijah. We saw God work in many ways, and Elisha saw it too. Elisha saw that the presence of God was on Elijah and made a decision that he wasn't going anywhere else. Oh, he could have left. He could have left. His college buddies had all left. You see that in 2 Kings. You're over there, aren't you? 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 3. It says, "And the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from this head today? And he said, Yeah, I know it. Or, yea, I know it. Probably not the modern vernacular, yeah. Yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace. That sounds like a college student, doesn't it? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Leave me alone. Verse 5. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. College buddies had all left. The guys that he had been traveling with, and they were all following Elisha. They were like, hey, you know, we're done. We're not going any farther. He could have chosen less conflict. In fact, his spiritual leader Elijah told him what to do. He said, hey, you need to stay here now. He said no, and he certainly respected the godly counsel of Elijah, but his devotion was to God, not Elijah. And he said, hey, God told me to stick with you. He could have chosen to avoid a confrontation with someone that he loved and respected and done what was asked, but he said no. If this is where I can find the presence of God, I'm not going anywhere. If this is where I can be close to God, then I'm not. If this is where God's presence is, then you can't take me. You're going to have to drag me out of here. Let's go ahead and look at verse 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went. Instead of, man, you wish, some of those guys are probably like, I wish I would have stayed. I wish I would have stuck around. They went, where was I? And stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Go to verse number 11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, that, can you imagine this? But there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Go to verse 13. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood on the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Elijah says, all right, Elisha, this is where we part. You stay here and I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to be taken out of here. Elisha says, I'm sorry, sir. I respect you. I appreciate your counsel. I respect you, but I'm not going anywhere. God's blessed me since I've been with you. With you, there's the presence of God. I'm sticking with you, preacher. He says, no, you need to stay here. Elijah says, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm sticking with you. I want to be close to the presence of God. All right, well, they go, and he smites those waters, and they part. He takes that mantle, he smites it, they part, they walk across, and then, boom, next thing you know, he's taken up into heaven. Elisha got to see it. Well, you can imagine that young preacher boy, now that his mentor's gone, I can just imagine what's going through his mind. There goes that great man of God. There goes that godly counsel that I've been sticking by for these years. There goes the blessings, the man that I've been blessed to be a part of, and the godly blessings that I saw and have been a part of were in a lot of ways as a result of me sticking by him. And I know that he had the presence of God. And now he's gone. Probably a little bit of sadness. Probably a little bit of anxiety. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He said, man, where's that presence that I felt for these years? Where's that presence at? Now that Elijah's gone, is the presence of God away from me now too? He picks that up, that mantle up, and he smites the waters, and the waters part, and he realizes, I've still got the presence of God with me. Hey, Elijah's gone, but I've got the presence of God. Hey, folks, don't you think that Lot wishes he could go back and stick by the man that had the presence of God? And Elisha stayed by the man of God, stayed by that godly counsel. He stayed by the godly blessings that God was providing him. And then there came a time when he was close to the godly presence of a man of God that the presence of God was able to rest on him. One chose to leave and the other chose to cleave. I got to ask myself and I ask you, are you going to leave or are you going to cleave? What are we going to do? Have we been cleaving? Have you been cleaving to godly counsel from the pulpit, from others? Have you been cleaving to godly blessings? Well, where are we going to find the blessings of God? Well, I'll give you that book that I told you about. We're going to get it in our Bible. We're going to get it in church. We're going to get it in prayer. We're going to get it in separation from the world. Don't leave those things. Too many are leaving those things. Too many are leaving the presence of God because they don't want to be separated from the world. Too many are leaving the presence of God because they don't like what they're hearing at church and what they're reading in their Bible. Hey, don't leave to those things. Cleave to them. You know what saddens me is I'm getting to the age where the folks that I grew up with, there's only a handful of us left that are still doing what that are still cleaving to what it is that was given to us, what was shown to us. And you know what the bottom line is? There are folks that have left. And now I'm getting to the point in my life where the phone calls are starting to come, and the texts are starting to come, and the messages are starting to come, saying, hey, I left. Now I've got nothing. Is there anything you can do to help me? Hey, I've left and I left the godly counsel and I left the godly blessings that I had been given by my pastor, by my parents, and by being in the church that I was raised up in. And I've left it, and the blessings that I had, not only do I not have any more, but the ones that I had are gone now. and they don't have the presence of God for sure. You know how I know that? Because they talk about how lonely they are. They talk about how depressed they are. They talk about how paranoid. The paranoia is what's really blowing my mind. I try to encourage these people, hey, you know what? There's a place for you at church. There's a seat for you at church. There's a chair for you at Sunday school. But the paranoia is what's holding them back. Oh, no, everybody's going to think, oh, no, everyone's going to judge me. No, no, no. They don't have the presence of God because they don't have peace. They don't have the blessings of God. And they don't have godly counsel because they've left it. Where have you been cleaving to godly counsel? Have you been cleaving to godly blessings? Don't leave those things. And have you been cleaving to godly presence? I love Exodus chapter 33, verse 15. If your presence go not with me, I love it. If your presence doesn't go with me, I don't want to go. If your presence go not with me. Don't sacrifice the presence of God because of conflict, hard times, or sometimes it's just contentment with the status quo. There's some things you can't replace. There's no AI. No AI for godly counsel. There's no replacement or artificial intelligence for godly blessings. And there's definitely no artificial or man-made replacement for the presence of God. Don't leave, but cleave. One chose to leave, the other chose to cleave. And the bottom line is, that's not a one-time decision. That's a daily decision. Every day we got to decide, am I going to cleave to what's been working? I told the young people, as a youth pastor all the time, I said, you know what? Every day that I wake up and I decide to do what it is that the Bible says to do and do what it is that I've been taught and reared to do and do what it is that the way for which I've been trained, as it says in the Old Testament, says to do, every day that I choose to do those things, I have a good day. Not that everything goes my way, but even if things don't go my way, it's still a good day. And every day that I wake up and I decide to do what I want to do and I decide to do what it is that I feel like doing, when what feels good and best to me, oh, everything can go right that day. And you know what's crazy? It's still a miserable day. One chose to leave, the other chose to cleave. What will you do? I bet if we could go to Lot, if we could just bring Lot behind this pulpit and give him this microphone and say, do you wish you could go back? I think, yeah, I wish I'd never left. Oh, yeah, you know, I had to get rid of some. And that's the bottom line. Sometimes you got to get rid of some stuff. You got to downsize some things. Got to say no to an opportunity that might come our way. I don't understand. I don't understand why people accept a position at a place where they got to move their family before figuring out if there's a church in that area. I don't understand that. One chose to leave, the other chose to cleave. And we see the result of both of those decisions. I want to cleave. I want to cleave. By the grace of God, I'm going to hold on to this book. I'm going to hold on to the pulpit and the godly counsel I get from it. I'm going to hold on to the blessings. And God's blessed me so much. I don't want to. Why would I leave if you're a fisherman, you don't leave where the fish are. If you've got a spot, you don't leave that spot. I've got a good fishing hole. And it's called godly blessings. And I don't want to leave it. And when you experience the presence of God, there's nothing that compares to that. Don't leave it, but cleave to it. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear God, it seems so simple when you read it. When you see these two people, it seems, you think, how in the world, Lot, could you ever make that decision? But yet we see it so often. And from time to time in our lives, we end up making that same decision on a smaller scale than Lot made. Lord, I pray that you'll help me, help us, to understand the importance of cleaving to the right things instead of leaving them. Lord, please give us, with your wisdom and foreknowledge and your Holy Spirit, please help us to understand the consequences of our actions, especially I think of the young adults and young people in the room today. Lord, help us not to. I'm tired of seeing so many people leave, and even those that have been to church for 30, 40, 50 years, and then they leave. What a sad thing to see, God. But Lord, what a great thing it is when you see someone that just chose to cleave the whole way through. Lord, I pray that you'll help us this evening to understand the truths of your word. In your name, Pastor.
Let's stand to our feet. And as the piano plays, if God spoke into your heart, would you just respond to that? Maybe you want to make a commitment to the Lord and come talk to Him and just say, Lord, I want to be faithful. I want to stay with You. I want to cleave to You. I want to cleave to Your Word. That's a great comparison. Lot versus Elisha. Stay with it. I want to say this tonight. You know who's in church? People who want to be. And if you're looking for an excuse not to be, there's 1,000 of them. But you watch the process of life. Just stay with it. I'll say this too, when you determine, I'm going to be faithful, I'm going to be in church every time, you will be tested for a while. The devil will throw different things in your path to see if he can keep you away. And we need to just determine, no matter what he throws at us, I'm going to be there. All right, so our evangelist is going to get on the road fairly shortly, so see him, say goodbye to him, wish him well, pray for his son, Haddon. Remember, pray for Angie tomorrow especially, but throughout this week. Well, we need to see some good things. She needs to see some good things happen, so pray for her and and then pray for one another and just be faithful. Be faithful. Let's have a great week and let's go ahead and pray. We'll finish the service. Father, I thank you so much for the message. I look at this comparison and Lord, we see the outcome. The interesting thing is, as they were making these decisions, they did not see exactly how it was going to play out as they were making them. We get to see that because it's recorded in the Word of God, it's history. But Father, we can understand that's the way it'll work for us too. So God, help us to be able to look out ahead and help us to stay with you and follow you and trust you for the blessings that you have for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Please give Brother Raritan safety driving home. Keep him alert and awake. Help his son. Father, we pray for Angie tonight. God, we just hold her up before you. She needs help tomorrow. God, give those doctors wisdom. God, help her stomach to begin to work again properly. We ask this. We plead for it. We ask you, God, to do what you can do that doctors can't do, and that's heal. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in just a few minutes, we'll meet with the trustees over in the choir room, fellowship a bit.